This morning's responsive reading for us during our Sunday school hour comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, the first 12 verses. If you have your Bibles, please open them up to Proverbs 13, and let's consider what God has to say through the pen of King Solomon. Notice the opening line, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." Now, once again, when you look at Hebrew parallelism, we notice that there's a contrast here. We have what's called the wise son is contrasted in opposition to whom? The scorner. All right? Now, the wise son demonstrates his wisdom by taking heed to the instruction of his father. He doesn't blow his father off. He doesn't look at his father as somebody who's probably gray-headed or half-bald, a few wrinkles on the face, and daddy's just not hip, he's not in tune, he's not in touch with the world around me as a young person. Well, that's very foolish on the part of a son. Anyone who's younger ought to be having their ears open and their eyes open and their mind open and their heart open to receive instruction to save them from some of the pitfalls that probably this father is trying to save his son from. See, a younger generation, and again, we all begin as youngsters, and as we get older, we begin to realize that all the words of wisdom given to us when we were young, much of it was meant to spare you and I from a whole lot of pain and misery. Now, we were too blind to see it back then. How many of us have heard from somebody who's no longer young, but they're not excessively old, but we have heard some people, even in our own family, chime a bit by saying, "If I only had known what I know now." Well, the sad part about it is this. If we had given to you what you know now back then, probably you still would not have listened because you were not in a frame of mind to pay attention at all. But then notice, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. Notice what instruction is pointed to or compared to. Rebuke. Rebuke. So that tells you what kind of instruction the father is given to the son that needs to be heeded. Rebukes. If you look at the Hebrew parallel, we have a wise son versus the scorner. Both are hearing something, right? They're both hearing. One receives the hearing. One accepts the message. The other one, the scorner, what does he do with that? He doesn't want to pay any heed to what? Rebuke. Verse 3, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." You kind of wonder about a politician who just keeps on saying things. And then eventually, later in life, some of those words come back to haunt them. Especially in modern technology, you're able to rewind an interview they did maybe 5 or 10 years ago. Or maybe they were on TV giving a speech and they made certain promises. Oh, they were campaigning for or against something, and now 5 or 10 years later, they've now flipped in their support or in their non-support of something. And those things are brought back to their memory. Verse 7, "There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing." So notice this contrast in Hebrew parallelism. You have somebody who makes himself rich, rich in this world's goods, but in actuality, he has nothing. And I believe we're talking about the true riches of life, which are spiritual and eternal. Now, contrast the fact, there is that maketh himself poor, yet great riches. And whenever I see this verse, I automatically think of the Philippians, where though they were poor, okay, versus maybe other cities and communities and other churches across the Roman Empire, they were a poor lot. But on more than one occasion, they dug deep into their pockets or in their robes and gave to Paul's necessities. and Paul told them that they were rich. Now, in the eyes of the world, that's a huge contradiction. How can you be poor and rich at the same time? Well, what about the Lord Jesus? Corinthians tells us he became poor that he could make us rich. That's a good example. The latter half, there is that maketh himself poor. Christ became poor, yet had great riches. And out of Jesus' poverty and his humiliation and in his condescension as the God-man, what does he do in Ephesians chapter 4? He leads captivity captive. And then he sprinkles gifts to men, pastors, evangelists, apostles, helpers, whatever. Notice, through Jesus' poverty and his humiliation, he sprinkles the riches of that atonement on his people. Isn't that beautiful? Then look at verses 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. How many times have we seen nations march off to war and cause needless bloodshed in the millions of bodies and casualties throughout human history? And most of these confrontations are all due to what? Pride. You have something that someone else wants. They're envious and jealous of what you have. And so what do? They take their armies and their weapons and they march into your backyard and simply take it. And all the collateral damage, they just chalk that up as simply war. Only by pride cometh contention. What about church squabbles? Pride. One person not getting their way. One person thinking that they know better, that they can run the show better than everybody else, or the man behind the pulpit, or the Sunday school teacher down in the church basement standing behind a little podium. Pride. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Now look at the latter half of verse 10. With the well-advised is wisdom. Take that latter half of verse 10. Let's go back to verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. When the father well advises his children and they take heed, it says, but with the well advised, there's wisdom. And what does the scorner do? He's not well advised. He throws the wisdom or the counsel behind his back and he walks away. Look at verse 12. Verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. So, you have wealth that is gained by vanity as opposed to wealth that is gathered by labor. One source of wealth will fly out the window and the other source of wealth eventually increases. And then verse 12, all of us have experienced this. Hope that is deferred maketh the heart sick. When you anticipate something, you hope that something's going to come your way, and it's not, you get sick on the inside. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. It's a tree of life. And so, beloved, if people have a good hope in you and I as individuals, they're anticipating something good coming from you. Or they can trust you with a certain thing. They've asked you to do a certain favor for them. And now they're hoping that you're going to get that favor brought to reality. But if you drag your feet and you forget about that favor, or you pay no mind to that favor, that person's left in the lurch. What do you do to such a person? Well, beloved, the Bible says you make their heart sick. So Christians need to be, above all people, people that are most relied upon. When we're asked to do something, and the person who's asking has a certain expectation or a certain hope in you to get something done at a certain time, you need to do it. If not, you're going to hurt that person's heart. And that's what verse 12 is telling us to be aware of. Well, may the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, bless his word. Amen.